So the one right before the Chadodi is chapter 29, Perek Chavtes, which is what we're doing now. It's clear that this was specifically put in for Kabbalah Shabbos. It's clear that that's the case because if you remember, for the first five, at least the first three that we did, it started from chapter 95. We went from 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. That's what it does. It starts from 95 and it goes in order. And then for the sixth one, it goes all the way to chapter 29. So it just goes out of order to Perek Chavtes, to chapter 29. So it's clear that this is placed here because of Kabbalah Shabbos. The other ones you could claim, well, they're just going in order, so they're just going in some sort of order. But over here, it's going, it's specifically going out of order, and they want to have it by L'Chadodi, right before L'Chadodi. So if you have the sitter with you?
Yeah, actually.
Here, I'll show this for you. Do you carry this around wherever you go, or you took it because of today?
No, this is from home, but it's mine that I use at home.
Okay. It would be heavy to carry around everywhere.
I know. Now, I have a wee one from that I got when I was in Israel.
See, they don't see 20. They don't say Tehillim 29 or whatever here. Right?
It does. It does say.
Does it?
Yeah, sure. In very small print.
Okay, you're right.
So if you see it from pages, I'll give this to you back in a second, but from pages 308 to 312, it goes from 95 to 99. And then on page 314, it goes back to chapter 29. So it's right over here.
Linear, so
oh, you have probably different pages, yeah.
Pages.
Yeah. But you see that it goes from 95 to 99 and then it goes back to 29.
Wait a minute. So, right. 95 to 99, when you're saying
first, the previous pages, the previous pages are 95 to 99. And then the one we're doing is the one right before the Chadodi, that's chapter 29.
Mizmor LeDavid is the one before.
Mizmor LeDavid is 29.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one we're
right.
doing.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So it's clear that they placed, it's not just that they went in order of 95 through 99 and then they're continuing and that we just say this because, it's clear they put this in here because of Shabbos. So we also say this on Shabbos another time, okay, besides for a couple of Shabbos.
99 and then 29.
29.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The other time that we say this on Shabbos is when we bring back the Torah. When we bring back the Torah, we say the same exact paragraph.
You're talking about on Shacharit?
After laning, after they lane, they bring back the Torah, they say this paragraph of Mizmor LeDavid.
Oh, okay.
And during the week, they say a different paragraph. So on Shabbos, they say this paragraph. So this is clearly a Shabbos-themed paragraph. So, we'll just read it. I just want to read it first and translate it. And the big question is going to be, what in the world does this have to do with Shabbos? So let's first read it. Mizmor Pasuk Aleph, Mizmor LeDavid, this is a song to David. So just parenthetically, sometimes you'll have in Tehillim LeDavid Mizmor, and sometimes you'll have Mizmor LeDavid. They'll switch around the words. Sometimes it's more, here it's Mizmor LeDavid, sometimes they have it, LeDavid is the first word. It says LeDavid Mizmor. And the Gemara explains that what's the difference between the two?
This inspiration, whether it was written by inspiration first or something.
From Hashem.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So over here in Mizmor, the song came first. So this was David's own inspiration which came first. And then Hashem helped him out to write it. But this started off as David's own inspiration. When it says LeDavid Mizmor, when it has it the opposite way, so then it starts off through Hashem initiating it, through David. It was a form of a prophecy to David. And then David continues it. Over here, it's through David's own inspiration that he starts this off, and then Hashem continues it. Which is interesting. So this is out of David's own inspiration that he wrote this. Mizmor LeDavid. Havu la Hashem bnei Elim. You should give to Hashem bnei Elim, the children of Elim, the children of those. Literally, Elim means strong. Those who are strong. The simple explanation of this is that it's referring to the children of angels. Maybe that's the simple explanation. the children of angels, they should give something to Hashem, and then Havu LaHashem Kavod Va'oz, and they should give to Hashem Kavod Va'oz, glory and strength. So they're giving something to Hashem here. Is it the exact? Is it the same translation as your?
A little bit interesting. It says, "Render unto Hashem your you sons of the powerful. Render unto Hashem honor and might."
Yeah, that's similar. Yeah, it's similar.
Different wording.
Yeah. Pasuk Beis, verse 2, Havu LaHashem Kavod Shemo, then you should bring to Hashem Kavod Shemo, the honor of His name. And then it says, Hishtachavu LaHashem Bahadras Kodesh. You should go ahead and you should bow down to Hashem Bahadras Kodesh in His holy place, which the simple explanation is that it's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. They should bow down to Hashem in His holy place. Vivian, let me know if there's any differences.
No.
As you're going along.
No.
Okay, so that's the introduction. Those first two psukim are the introduction. We should go give something to Hashem. Then from Gimel, from 3 through 9, it describes how strong the voice of God is. It says, Kol Hashem. There's some strong voice of God here. It says, Kol, verse 3, Pasuk Gimel, Kol Hashem alamayim, Kel hakavod hirim, Hashem alamayim rabim. Kol Hashem alamayim. The voice of God is on the water. Something to do with the water. Kel hakavod hirim. It's this thundering voice of God. Hashem amayim rabim. Hashem is over the mighty waters. There's some strong sound here of waters, of these strong waters. And you could
replicate it? Because that's the second time it's being referred to.
Why does it say mayim twice?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Why does it say mayim twice? I don't have a good answer for that, but it seems to repeat Mayim, Kol Hashem al Mayim, and then it says, the voice of God is on these mighty waters, and if you can imagine like a heavy stream or a waterfall, like when you go to it, it's so loud you can't talk to the other person. It's just so loud. So you have this strong voice, and then Pasuk Dalet says, Kol Hashem b'koach, the voice of God is b'koach, is through strength. It's a strong voice of Hashem. Kol Hashem b'hadar. It's majestic, this voice of God. Pasuk, hey, Kol Hashem Shuvar Arazim, the voice of God is so strong that it could break cedar. It could break cedar wood. Cedar is a very strong tree. It could crack through the cedar. Ve'yishaber Hashem as arze halvonon. And could shatter. Ve'yishaber is a stronger language of breaking. It could shatter the cedar of Lebanon.
And again, repeats errors and errors.
It repeats errors there also, yeah. Yeah. Ve'yarkidim, in Pasuk Vav, Ve'yarkidim kamo egel levanon, v'siryon kamo ven re'imim. And then he makes the actual land, jump. It jumps around. It jumps around like a calf, or like the son of re'im, the son of the re'imim. The re'imim is not exactly clear how to translate re'imim. I'm not sure what you have in yours, but here they have a wild eye. It's unclear exactly what a re'im is. It says re'im, because re'im is a hard word to translate. Some say it's referring to a hippopotamus.
What is it?
A hippopotamus. It's a big animal. Either way, it's referring to a big animal. It's a humongous animal. So it's the son of these big animals. So it's a hippopotamus can't jump around, really. But the children of a hippopotamus could, presumably. So it's trying to give you an imagery of a big animal, but a big animal that's jumping around. So you have this big animal that the voice of God is so strong that it causes these lands to essentially shake. They're shaking here. Kol Hashem chotzev lahavos ish. This is Pasuk Zion. The voice of Hashem chotzev lahavos ish. It creates a flame of fire. It engraves really a flame of fire. Pasuk Ches, Kol Hashem Yachil Midbar, Yachil Hashem Midbar Kadosh. It causes fear. The voice of God causes fear in the desert of Kadosh. So again, here it also repeats what? The tremble. Yeah, yeah. It's a form of fear of trembling. It causes the trembling to occur in the Midbar, and in the Midbar Kadosh. Kadosh was viewed as your big, it was viewed as the big desert. So they reference Midbar Kadesh because Kadesh was the big desert of the time.
That's
so there was
Kadesh Barnea?
What is it?
Is it the same place as Kadesh Barnea?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Because I know we have friends that live on Kadesh Barnea, and they just we shorten it and just say Kadesh.
Oh yeah, is that true?
But they're going to Kadesh.
But it's a desert there.
It's a moshav. It is desert.
It's desert.
Big time.
So here it's referring to a desert.
The Negev, Shama.
Yeah, so the Negev is desert. Yeah.
Kadesh Barnea.
Kadesh Barnea and Mitzrayim.
Maybe it is. Maybe it is referring to it.
Because in the mornings you can hear them shooting.
So maybe it is referring to it. And so here, where the voice of God is not just, it's not just on the land, it's also where people are populated. It's also in the desert, where it's very quiet. Generally, when we refer to the desert, definitely in those times, it was a quieter place, less populated. And the voice of God is even there. It's causing trembling to occur there. It's very loud. Even in those quiet places, it's still very, very loud. So all these psukim are telling us that the voice of God is extremely loud. And then we have one more in Pasuk Tes. Kol Hashem yicholel ayalos vayechasof yaros uvehecholo kulom omer kavod. So the Kol Hashem yicholel ayalos. This causes it's trembling to calves, but it also, and it
Dance? Yeah, that means to dance.
Yeah, but there's also an explanation that it causes, I don't know what translation you have there, but it causes the pregnant animals to miscarry, to have miscarriages.
It frightens the hinds.
Yeah.
That's it, the hinds? I don't know.
Hinds.
The hinds.
Yeah.
To calf, yeah. No, that doesn't even say here to calf. It just says frightens the hinds.
Yeah, so there's also an explanation that it frightens them to the point where they have a miscarriage.
Wow.
And if it's frightening the animals, those that are pregnant, ve'yachasofi aros, and it removes all the trees from the forest, uvehechalo kulo omer kavod. And this vav is really it's a vav of not and, but it's saying however, uvehechalo kulo omer kavod. That's what's going on wherever that's taking place. That's what's happening there. But in his heichal, but in Hashem's heichal, in his sanctuary. So then, kulo omer kavod. Everyone is just saying kavod. Everyone's saying honor. So something's taking place outside of his sanctuary, and then inside the sanctuary, there's this loud noise that's causing miscarriages, and it's causing breaking of trees and roaring waters. There's this loud noise that's all taking place outside the heichal, outside Hashem's heichal, but inside his heichal, inside his sanctuary. Kulo omer kavod. Everyone's saying honor or glory. Pasuk, this is pretty strange so far.
Strange because we were talking, all the other ones were all about what's going to happen when the Mashiach.
Yeah, so this is not about the times of Mashiach. Right. This is not about the times of Mashiach, I don't think. But we'll see what it is referring to in a minute. Pasuk Yod, Hashem lamabul yashav, Aisha Hashem melech li'olam. Hashem lamabul yashav. Hashem sat as king, presumably, during the times of a flood. Some explain that it's referring to the flood of Noah. Or it could just be referring to, well, whatever's going on here, it sounds pretty bad. So there's probably a flood going on also in what's being described here. So maybe it's part of the description that Hashem is sitting on his throne while this is all taking place. And Vayeshev Hashem Melech Le'olam, Hashem will continue to sit on his throne forever. He will be the king forever. And finally, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem oz la'mo yitein, Hashem yivarech es amo v'shalom. Hashem brings strength to his nation, and Hashem blesses his nation with peace. That's the end. So the first two psukim, the first two verses, are the introduction about the fact that we have to give something to Hashem.
It's yours, I guess. No, it's okay. I'm just worried.
Yeah. The middle ones from 3 to 9 is about this voice, this strong voice of God, and how powerful this voice of God is. And then from the last two, 10 and 11, they're about how God sits on his throne and that he will bless his nation. He will bring strength to his nation and he'll bring peace to his nation. So they're basically three different sections to this paragraph. The first two, the middle paragraphs, and then the middle verses, and then the last two.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so what is this talking about? This is it's a nice imagery, but what in the world is this talking about?
The power of Hashem.
The power of Hashem, yeah.
Ultimate power, like all-encompassing power over all the land and the water and the animals and then and the people, but the people get to rejoice in his power.
At the end, they get to rejoice in his power. But it seems like others are also are losing out a little bit. That there's destruction going on. There's some form of destruction. He causes the trees to break. It is interesting. So,
well, when you see nature at its forcefulness,
you see the power. It's about you see the power of Hashem. Okay, it's I think you're onto definitely onto something. So it is the power of Hashem. There are I believe there are at least two. We'll discuss two themes here that are found in Chazal that have to do with this parak in Tehillim. The first one is, how many times does it mention the name of Hashem? Count them times it says the name of Hashem. Go for it.
I have 19 because there's one that says God, not just.
Oh, excellent. And not just what? Lord? What do you have for the other times? Excellent. So you're actually onto something. So the number of times it says Lord is?
18.
What is 18? If you can think of Chai, but besides for Chai, what else is it in our davening?
Shmona
Esrei. The Shmona Esrei that we have is 18 brachos. The reason why we have Shmona Esrei is because it has 18 brachos. And in case you're wondering, how did they come up with 18 brachos? It's not like they thought, oh, we need X, Y, and Z, and we need all these things. No. They looked at here, and they said, this is what the Gemara tells us. The Talmud tells us that they looked here, and they saw that it has Hashem's name 18 times in this paragraph. Must be that we have to have 18 brachas in Shmona Esrei. So it's not just the fact that they came up on their own with a list of 18. It's they had to fill in the 18. They knew that there were 18 brachos, and then they put it in. What's interesting in the Gemara is that they had 18, but if you actually look in our Shmona Esrei, there are really 19. There are 19 brachos. They added
one was added later on.
One was added later on, so they asked, "How could you add another one later? How could you add one in? There's only 18 names of God here." So, Vivian, what's the answer?
Because there is.
Because God is mentioned one more time. He's not mentioned as Hashem. In the Hebrew, it says, "It's v'lam al shanim." Yeah, it's the blessing of the bracha of v'lam al shanim.
There was a problem in history.
Yeah, but you still don't have a right to add it on unless you have a source for it.
But
so you can't.
God's name is mentioned. I don't think so.
Yeah, so it says over here. It mentions it a 19th time. It doesn't say the name of Hashem as Hashem, but it says Kel. This is in Pasuk Gimel, in verse 3. It doesn't say Hashem, but it says Kel. It says Kol Hashem Al Mayim Kel Hakavod. It's Aleph Lamed. I'm just not saying it because that's the name of God, so you're not supposed to say it. But that name of Kel Hakavod is also a name of Hashem. So this is fascinating. That means that from this perek, this chapter of Tehillim, we come on to the 18, the Shmona Esrei / 19, the 19 brachos in Shmona Esrei.
And where does it say Hashem?
It says Hashem all over the place. It says Hashem's name 18 times.
Oh, but that
every time it says Hashem's name, Havu La Hashem. Yeah, that Kel is the 19th.
Okay.
That Kel is the 19th. So it's a fascinating idea that it's not like they had like a top 19 list of this is the top 19 things we should say. They had to fill in the 19 because they knew from this parak that there's a concept of mentioning 18/19 brachos to Hashem. Which is a very interesting idea. One more point, and then we'll try to put this together, is that if you look at source 2, look at source 2 here, Tanu Rabbanan, this is the Gemara on the bottom of the first page, Minayin she'omrim avos. If you go to the Shemona Esrei, the Shemona Esrei has the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei. The first one discusses our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. If you go to the Shemona Esrei, the second one discusses the second bracha is referring to Gevura, the strength of Hashem. That's where we say like Hashem has the ability to mechayim mesim. He has the ability to bring back to life those who are dead. Mashiv haruach umored hagashem, that he brings water. He brings food. Somech noflim, he raises those who have fallen. That's all the second. That's all in the second parak. The second paragraph of Shemona Esrei. That's something which is called gevura, the strength of Hashem. And then the third bracha is kedusha, about hakel hakadosh. That third bracha of Shemona Esrei is hakel hakadosh, that God is holy. It's about the holiness of God. So it's about our forefathers. The first one's about our forefathers. The second one is about the strength of God. The third one is about how holy God is. Those are the first three. The first three are not really, we don't ask Hashem for anything in the first three. The first three and the last three. The first three are shevach. We're praising Hashem in the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei. The middle ones are forms of bakasha, of request, asking Hashem for things. And the last three is hodah. That's thanking Hashem. So we praise Hashem first, we ask Hashem for things, and then we thank Hashem. That's really the structure of the Shemona Esrei. And so the Gemara asks, how do we know that within the section of praising, that those are the three that we're supposed to be saying? The praising of the Avos, where we came from, our forefathers, Gvura, the strength of Hashem, and Kedusha, that Hashem has, there's a holiness to Hashem. How do we know this? So the Gemara says it comes from our chapter here in Tehillim. If you look at the source, it says Tana Rabbanan, we were taught, the sages taught us, Minayin she'omrim avos. How do we know that we mentioned that first bracha of avos, that mentioning our forefathers? Because it says Shenemar havu l'Hashem b'nei elim. We should bring to Hashem the children of elim, children of strength. Elim is strength, but strength here, according to the Gemara, means where we came from. We came from our forefathers. We are children of our forefathers, of those who are strong. They were the foundation of Judaism. Those are the strong. That's what Elam is referring to here. The strength of our forefathers. So that's how we know that you have to mention Avos. Uinayin she'omim gvuros. How do we know that you mention God's gvura, His strength? Because it says Shenamar havu l'Hashem, give to Hashem kavod v'oz, give to Hashem His honor and His oz. Oz is strength. So you have to give Him His power. So you have to mention His how much control He has over the world. And that's Gevura. That's the bracha of Gevura. And how do we know the third one? Uminayin she'omrim kedushos. How do we know that we have to mention God's holiness? Shenamar havu l'Hashem kavod shemo hishtachvu l'Hashem v'hadras kodesh. You have to give to Hashem His honor and bow down to Him v'hadras kodesh, in his courtyard of holiness. And so we see from that the third phrase, which is the second pasuk, that we mentioned kedusha in Shemona Esrei, that we mentioned the holiness of Hashem. And so not only what comes out of this Gemara is that it's not just that we see the fact that it has 18/19 times the name of Hashem, the name of God, and therefore there are 18 or 19 brachos, but really each name of Hashem tells us in what it's referring to, which bracha it represents. Havu l'Hashem b'nei elim is Hashem. We have to praise Hashem and we have to praise Hashem with regards to our forefathers, that we have a connection to our forefathers, that Hashem had a relationship with our forefathers, and through that relationship, that also connects to us, that what happened with them continues throughout history. The next one is Kavod V'Oz, that we have to mention the strength of Hashem, and then it's also about the Kedusha, that we have to mention the holiness of Hashem. The Gemara doesn't have this, but the Medrash, I didn't quote this, it's a long Medrash. The Medrash continues, and for every word of Hashem here, it connects it to the parallel bracha, the parallel blessing. So for every time it says the name of Hashem, the name of God, Al Hamayim, it connects it to the next bracha that's found in the Shemona Esrei, and the next bracha that's found in the Shemona Esrei. And it's really, it's a fascinating Medrash, how the way they got to the brachas in Shemoneh Esrei is really through this paragraph. It's from this paragraph. Just that if you're interested in gematrias, this is quoted by the Maharsha. The Maharsha is he comments on the Gemara. So it says Havu la Hashem. You have to give to Hashem, right? For the first three brachos, it comes from the phrases of Havu la Hashem. Give to Hashem. First Bnei Elim, the forefathers. Havu la Hashem kavod v'oz. Give to Hashem his gvura, his strength. And then Havu la Hashem, you have to give to Hashem Bahadris Kodesh, in his holiness. That you have to give to Hashem something in his holiness. You have to bow down in his courtyard of holiness. So what is the gematria of Havu? Hey Bez Vav.
Kavod?
Havu.
Where is that
Havu.
Word?
Havu, it says it three times. Havu la Hashem bin Eilim, and it says it twice in the first pasuk, Havu, that you have to give to Hashem. Hey Bez Vav. Then it says Havu la Hashem kavod ba'oz, that you have to give to Hashem kavod ba'oz. Then it says it Havu is
13.
Render.
It's 13. The gematria is 13, which the Maharsha says is the same gematria as echad, one.
Wait a minute, you've got hey
Beis Vav.
So
five, six, two is thirteen. So he says it's the same gematria as echad, that it's the same gematria as one. One aleph ched dalet, 8 + 4 + 1 = 13, and he explains that the idea here is that these three brachos, and we also this applies in halacha as well. These three brachos are really represented as one. These are really one central idea with three components to them. The one basic idea is that this is Shevach, we're praising Hashem. This is a section of praising Hashem in the Shemoneh Esrei, with three components. There's the component of his relationship with our forefathers, his strength, and his holiness. That's what the Maharsha says. But just in terms of the big picture, that's just one point. But in terms of the big picture here, there's clearly a theme from this paragraph about tefillah. That our tefillah, our prayer, our Shemoneh Esrei, comes from this paragraph. So this paragraph has some sort of highlight of tefillah, of praising, of talking to Hashem. So where does this come from? Where do you see from this paragraph this concept of tefillah, of prayer to Hashem? I think it's connected to it.
Well, worshiping the Lord and the beauty of sanctity? Oh, no, maybe not. Sorry.
No, that's probably one, that we have to bow down to Hashem.
Right.
That's definitely one. But what's the whole middle section about?
Recognizing
his power.
His power, yeah, recognizing his power, recognizing his strength, which is what you mentioned, how strong Hashem is. So that's what this whole paragraph, a lot of this paragraph is about. And that's what a lot of tefillah is about, recognizing the control that God has in the world, and that God is in control and He could change things, and we have to create that relationship in order to. It was a discussion that we had a few weeks ago, but to partner with Hashem in His running of the world, or we ask Hashem to change things for us. But this is about the strength of Hashem. That's what this chapter is about. So this is one theme. This is one central theme of this parak. We'll discuss another theme, and we'll try to see how it connects to Shabbos. Okay, so one theme is definitely about tefillah, about prayer. There is another theme. There are many. This comes from Chazal, and many of the commentators explain that what this is referring to. A lot of this chapter, a lot of the psukim, a lot of the verses of this chapter are referring to when we receive the Torah at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. A lot of this chapter is about that. There's this voice, right? If you read the Torah, it talks about how there was thunder and lightning, and not only was there thunder and lightning, but it was a wild moment of where we heard lightning and saw thunder. That's what the verse actually says, that It was just our senses were just in whack. Yeah, so it was just this thunder of God appearing into the world, and we'll see this. We'll turn the page and we'll see the next Gemara. But for the nations of the world, they also heard it. It wasn't just people at Har Sinai that heard it. For the nations of the world, they also heard it, and it caused tremendous fear amongst the rest of the world to finally have the presence of God appear in this world. So it caused a tremendous amount of fear to the rest of the world. And that's what it's referring to here. This voice of God to the rest of the world, it was causing a lot of trembling and knocking down of trees, this imagery of just everything just falling down. But in his own Heichal, at the end it says, in God's sanctuary at Har Sinai itself, what was happening at Har Sinai? So everyone was listening to the word of God. It was a very powerful moment for the Jewish people, where they were just standing at the foot of Har Sinai, listening to the word of God, and that Hashem will continue to rule for the rest of the world, for all of eternity. And Hashem oz l'amoyitin, Hashem brings strength. Chazal says that, what is oz?
Oz
refers to Torah. Excellent. Oz refers to Torah. Our strength is Torah. Hashem is giving the Torah l'amoyitin. Hashem gives it to the Jewish people. And Hashem yivarech asamo v'ashalom. At Har Sinai, Hashem blesses us, blesses His nation with peace. We finally could come to a form of peace when we receive the Torah. And that this entire chapter is referring to the receiving of the Torah. I just wanted to quote the Gemara here. If you turn the page.
In the Gemara.
This is source 3. The Gemara is having a discussion. We know about Yitro. You know about Yitro? Yitro converted. He came to the Jewish people and he converted. And so there's a whole discussion. What made him convert? What exactly made him convert? To convert.
I'm sorry.
And so one of the opinions is that he heard Matan Torah. He heard the giving of the Torah. The receiving of the Torah. And that opinion is what we're going to be reading. We're going to read his explanation now of how he heard Matan Torah, how he heard the giving of the Torah. Rulazar Hamadai Omer, Matan Torah Shama. Yisro heard Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. Uba, and that's why he came to the Jewish people to convert. Why? Shekishinizna Torah Yisrael, when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, his voice would be heard from one end of the world to the other. And all the idol worshippers would, they would be full of fear in their own palace. In their own palace, where they are in control, they would have this fear. V'amru shira. And they would say songs of praise. They would be trembling, and they would say this praise of Hashem. Shinamar uvehecholo kulo omer kavod. In his hechal, everyone is saying his praise. So this is really they're saying that the hechal here is referring even to the hechal of their palaces. That in their palaces they would praise Hashem. Niskaptu kulam itzal bilam arasha. So what happened? What would happen as a result of that? All the nations of the world, they gathered to Bilam. Bilam was like the head prophet. He was the prophet for the non-Jews. So they all went to Bilam. V'amru lo, ma hakol ha-hamon asher shamanu, shema mabul ba la'olam. As it says, so they ask, what's going on here? What is this voice? It sounds like there's another mabul, that there's another flood occurring in the world. There's so much noise here. What's going on? So Amr lahem, Bilam says to them, no, Hashem la mabul yashav. Hashem already made the Mabul, the flood of Noah, and it's not happening again. You don't have to worry about that. V'amar lahem, v'yishav Hashem melech le'olam, and Hashem will be king forever. Kvar nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'enu mevi Mabul olam. Hashem promised that he won't bring another Mabul to the world. So then they said back to him, Amr lo, they said back to Bilam, fine, there's not going to be a Mabul, there won't be a flood. Mabul shemayim enu mevi, ava Mabul shel esh mevi. Maybe he won't bring a flood through water. But maybe God is now bringing the flood of fire to the world. This is all happening as we receive the Torah. this conversation is taking place. Shenamar ki hine ba'esh Hashem nishbat. Because maybe Hashem judges through fire. So Bilam responds back, Amar lehen, no, kvar nishba, she'eno mashlis kol basar. He already promised that he's not going to destroy the entire world. Hashem promised he won't cause the entire world to get destroyed. So they say back, ma kol lahomon hazesh shemanu. So then what are we hearing? What is this loud voice that we're hearing? So Bilam responds back, Amar lehen, Bilam tells the nations of the world, Chemda tova yeshlo bebeis genazav. Shehaisa gnuva etzlo tuf tuf kuf ayin dala duros. There was a hidden treasure that he kept, that God kept with him for 974 generations. Kodim shenever olam, before the world was created. Ubikesh litna levanav. And now he's bringing it to the world. He's now bringing the Torah to the world. Shenamar Hashem oz la'amo yitain. As it says that the Lord Hashem will bring strength to his people. And then Miyad, immediately, everyone in the world, not just the Jews, everyone in the world, Piskul Kulam Vamru, the entire world said, Hashem Yivarech Esamo Shalom. Hashem should bring peace unto the world, to his nation. So this is the loud noise. This is the loud noise that occurred at Har Sinai. And this is what this chapter is referring to. One point on this Gemara, it's a very interesting Gemara. One point on this Gemara is why did they assume that there would be a flood? Why a flood? Why assume that there's a flood? So I saw an explanation which says as follows, that when there's corruption in the world, or when the world is not following in the right direction, in the right path,
Hamas.
So when there's Hamas at the times of when there's immorality in the world, so Hashem has two options. He could either start anew, which is what he did with the Mabul. He destroyed the entire world. Or we could fix the world. Or through the Torah, through the giving of the Torah, we have that ability to fix. That's my phone. We could fix the world. Hashem could improve the world. Either we could start again, which is what happened at the Mabul. We could start again. Or what happened for the first time in the creation in the world is Hashem gives us the Torah and tells us, this is how you improve the world. I'm not going to start again. I already promised mankind that I won't start again. I won't destroy the entire world again and start anew. But it's our job now to fix the world.
But he does.
How did he start?
Oh, sorry.
He fixes the world. He won't start anew, but he'll fix the world. And so when the nations of the world hear this loud noise, so they're thinking to themselves, well, we're missing something. Something has gone wrong. So it's either they never knew about the Torah. They didn't know about the Torah being given. But it must be that Hashem is going back to his original plan of just starting over again. And now Bilam tells them, no, Hashem is not going to start over again. But Hashem wants us to fix the world. Hashem, through the Torah, through following the ways of the Torah, Hashem will allow us to fix the world on our own. We'll be able to fix the world. And that's what's happening here with this loud voice, the loud voice of Har Sinai.
It's interesting. And here's a Gentile prophet who can see this. You've got Jews who are the people at Har Sinai.
Yeah.
And yet they still build the golden calf after. They still...
No, that's a big question. Yeah, that's the big question. How are they able to do that? Yeah. So forget about that. Also, Bilam. What did Bilam do? Bilam is the one talking here. In the end, he was the one that tried to curse the Jewish people.
Right.
So.
Also amazing.
Yeah.
All of Israel. Where's the fire? Where, when there is destruction, it's either fire or flood. It literally is. It's
in Israel itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either that the forests are burning up from some sort of combustion.
Right.
Or that in the springtime when the rains happen and their earth does not soak it up. So they get flash floods that every year there's...
Yeah, they have these floods, yeah.
Which currently they just did in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where was it? In the Saudi... what desert is it?
In the Negev.
In the Negev.
What
no,
did they
no,
do?
No, 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 no. No, in Arab country. that they just had. I saw a video of it. The floods are unbelievable. Like just right, and it was straight desert, and cars were the water was like above the wheels.
Already. Oh wow!
In like seconds.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was Saudi Arabia or where, but obviously it didn't make world news.
But wouldn't that seem that that is a natural way for them to think that
this is water, this is fire?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very possible, yeah. It's interesting. So there, you have these two themes of this chapter. One is a theme of tefillah, of prayer. And there's a totally other different theme of the receiving of the Torah at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. So what is tefillah, each one independently, tefillah, prayer, and the receiving of the Torah, what does that have to do with Shabbos? We say this on Shabbos. I think it is appropriate that we say this when we put back the Torah, because if this is about Har Sinai, about the receiving of the Torah, so it's appropriate that we say this paragraph as we're bringing back the Torah. It's referring to Har Sinai, to receiving of the Torah. But what do the themes of tefillah and Har Sinai have to do with Shabbos? Any suggestions?
It's one thing we do.
What?
It's one of the most important things we do.
On Shabbos.
Is Shabbos is read the Torah and we daven.
So excellent. Yeah, that's definitely key that we daven every day. But I think for Shabbos itself, there's a concept of having a bigger gathering for davening. But also Shabbos is a day of having more time to focus on God, mm-hmm. on relating to Hashem, to having that time where we can take time out to daven. We have that ability to take time out to daven. Mm-hmm. And it's also a day of recognizing that God is the ruler of the world. God only did that. He only appeared three times directly in his relationship with the world. The first time was in creation. God created the world. That was his direct interaction with the world, where it's obvious to see. The second time is by Har Sinai, when we received the Torah. So Hashem figuratively came down to give the Torah. And that was recognized by all, as we saw in the Gemara. And the third one is going to be in the times of Mashiach, where we will, it'll be clear. Hashem is always involved, but that'll be so clear in his interaction with the world. And Shabbos is about recognizing that Hashem is the ruler of the world. And we see that through the giving of the Torah. For us to see it, we weren't around when Hashem created the world. But what we could relate to, the only time that we as Jewish people existed where Hashem interacted with the world is by Har Sinai. That's the only time, because when God created the world, it was before we existed.
Didn't God present himself to Avraham?
But not as not in a public way. It's true, he has prophets, but as a Jewish people, in a public way, it only happened twice, and it will happen in the times of Mashiach again. So Har Sinai really represents this idea of connecting to of that direct relationship with Hashem. And that's a central theme for Shabbos, to recognize that we have to work on our relationship with Hashem over Shabbos, and that Hashem is in control of the world. The whole idea of Shabbos is that Shabbos is on the seventh day when God rested. He had the 6 days of creation, and then he rested on the seventh. The whole concept, there's different concepts to Shabbos, but one of them is to recognize that Hashem is in control of the world. So that's why it fits. I think this fits very nicely as to why we say this right before Lecha Dodi. Mm-hmm. We specifically go out of order to back to chapter 29 in the Kabbalah Shabbos to say this right before Lecha Dodi, and we should, you know, hopefully we can have these themes in mind as we say this. It's always hard to because they go so fast, but sometimes they sing this. This is also they sing this on Friday night. If you're ever in shul on Friday night, this Friday night there's a we even have a musical chazan coming. So
yeah. There are six times mentioned the word kol. Is that
I thought there were seven.
Seven?
I thought there were seven. Because
in the second one or in the first one?
So there are is the days of the week, right?
Shulamit, where?
Kol.
I have seven. In this paragraph, there are seven times that it says the word kol.
Seven?
Yeah.
So it's days of the week, eh?
I thought kol was the voice.
It is the voice.
Right.
But it comes up seven times.
Right.
But seven also represents kedusha.
It represents kedusha?
Yeah.
Okay.
You brought that up last one of the last classes about seven.
Well, seven is definitely a cycle. It's right. A cycle. It represents teva, nature, what's natural. 7 days of creation. So there's definitely the kol. I think there is something to it. The fact that it is mentioned seven times. So that's this chapter, and then hopefully, I think next week.